God delights in answering our prayers. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to deepen our relationship with God through prayer.
The same one who prayed for Peter is available at the right hand of God the Father for us, whether you're in your car or in the parking lot or at home or at church or at the altar call time, wherever, whenever God says, I want to be there for you. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin.
At times, life can seem like an endless cycle of hopelessness. In our series, The Difference Jesus Makes, we will discover that no matter what is taking place in our lives, we can always turn to Jesus. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Whatever you may be facing, believe that Jesus understands and has a plan for your life. When we bring our problems to the Lord and trust Him to take care of our needs, He will make a difference in our lives like no one else can. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called The Prayers of Christ Make a Difference.
A missionary friend of mine tells a wonderful story about a young lady in an orphanage in Haiti. Search the faces, he said, of the Haitian orphanage for Carinette. Study the 57 dark-skinned, bright-eyed, curly-haired, Creole-speaking, fun-loving children for this unique 7-year-old girl. She appears no different from the others. She eats the same rice and beans every day. She plays in the same grassless playground. She sleeps beneath the same tin roof. She hears the rain as it falls at night. But though she appears the same, don't be fooled. She lives in a different world, a world called home to be. See the slender girl wearing the pink shirt? The girl with the long nose and bushy hair and a handful of photos? Ask to see them and Carinette will let you. Fail to ask and she'll show you anyways. The photos bear the images of her future family. You see, she's been adopted. Her adoptive parents, they're wonderful people. They brought her pictures, a teddy bear, granola bars, and cookies. Carinette shared the goodies and asked the director to guard her bear, but she keeps the pictures. They remind her of home to be. You see, within a month or two, at the most, she'll be there. She knows the day is coming. Every opening of the gate jumps her heart. Any day now her father will appear. He promised he'd be back. He came once to claim her. He'll come again to carry her home. And until then, she lives with a heart headed for home. My friends, I want to remind you this morning that you have been adopted. And the Father in heaven has promised through His word that Jesus Christ will come again. And we're to live every day as though it could be the day that He comes for each and every one of us. My friend, we have a lot to be thankful for today. His past provision in salvation, the daily bread that He gives us each and every day, and the promise that Jesus Christ is coming again. And I know the economy's down and trials come. I know there's the rise of secularism and a godlessness in society. But as Christians, my friend, we've got a lot to be thankful for this morning. Jesus, a few hours from the cross, gave thanks. Notice the second prayer that Jesus prayed on the way to Calvary. We'll call it the prayer of intercession. The prayer for someone else. And that someone else was a man most of us know. His name is Peter. Interestingly, that after the dinner in the upper room, Peter had been filled with pride. In fact, he and some of the other apostles were arguing over this. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Who's the most noticed here at the table? I mean, which of us is really the greatest? I would imagine to myself that if they could have somehow promoted themselves through some commercials or campaigns or maybe a blog to share how perfect their family lives were and how wonderful their careers were, that they would have really had a way to establish themselves. They were certain that they were the greatest in the kingdom. And that's why Jesus was worried about them. That's why Jesus prayed a little harder for them. Because they were so filled with pride, He knew that they were ripe for the devil to pick off. Notice what it says here in verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now notice the prayer of Jesus. First of all, we see it is a personal prayer. He says, I have prayed for thee. In verse 31, we see the second person plural pronoun, which simply means that when he said, I have prayed for you, he's speaking about all of the apostles. He said, I'm praying for this bunch. But in verse number 32, he changes to the second person singular pronoun. He says, for I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. He says, Peter, I'm praying specifically for you. And our Lord was making intercession for Peter. He says, I have prayed for you. He says, I'm praying for you because Satan wants to sift you like wheat. Now, please understand this morning, all of us have an adversary. His name is Satan. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't want you sitting in a church pew. He doesn't want you sitting at the table with your family. He doesn't want your children in the house of God. He wants to sift you. That is, he wants you to blow away in the Lancaster wind, never to be seen spiritually serving God again. And Jesus knew that Peter, being lifted up with how important he thought he was a prime candidate for the blowing winds of that day. And so he says, Peter, I want you to know I personally pray for you. I'm concerned about you. In Romans chapter 8, we read in verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us, you see. The same one who prayed for Peter is available at the right hand of God the Father for us. Whether you're in your car or in the parking lot or at home or at church or at the altar call time, wherever, whenever, God says, I want to be there for you. Hebrews 7:25. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feet healing of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen, our personal Savior, who prayed personally for Peter, is seated at the right hand of God the Father as the intercessor personally for our prayers today. The prayers of intercession, they were personal for Peter, but notice, they were particular for Peter. Notice what he says in verse 32. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Would you say that with me, please? That thy faith fail not. One more time. That thy faith fail not. Now, this was not referencing to the losing of his salvation. He was not praying that prayer. And thank God that when we accept Christ as our Savior, we are in the hand of God, and no one can pluck us out of the hand of God. But even though we are eternally secure in Christ and sealed by the Holy Spirit, it is entirely possible for people who have been saved to have a weakening or lessening of their faith walk. It is entirely possible to become dismayed. And I don't care how much some people may pretend to have it all together. In their quietest moments, there are struggles and there are times when we wonder if we're going to make it. Sometimes we waver in our faith. And sometimes when there's a family difficulty or a financial difficulty, the devil seems to shake us just a little bit more. And we see that Jesus says to Peter, I'm praying for you that your faith will not fail when you go through the trials that you experience. And they do come. Reminds me of Lucy and Charlie Brown having a little talk one day after a baseball game, and Lucy was trying to comfort Charlie Brown. He had struck out again. And Lucy said, that's all right, Charlie Brown. You win some and you lose some. And Charlie said, that would be wonderful. How many of you would like to just lose just some, right? And you go through that sometimes. And Peter was about to go through the school of trials and disappointments. And so Jesus says, Peter, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that your faith will grow stronger, not weaker. E.M. Bounds said, talking to men for God is a great thing, But talking to God for men is greater still. Do you ever talk to God for men? Do you ever worry that Satan might sift your marriage like wheat? Do you ever pray for your husband? Do you pray daily for your wife? Have you spent a night in prayer for a teenager? Have you spent time in prayer for lost loved ones? Do you pray? Do you talk to God for men? I love the poem, it may be in your notes. Until I learned to trust, I never learned to pray. And I did not learn to fully trust till sorrows came my way. Until I felt my weakness, his strength I never knew, nor dreamed till I was stricken that he could see me through. He who drinks deepest of sorrow drinks deepest too of grace. He sends the storm so he himself can be our hiding place. His heart that seeks our highest good knows well when things annoy. We would not long for heaven if earth held only joy. Sometimes God brings the trials and the challenges to life so that we would come to him and find his grace. And he says, Peter, I'm praying for you that your faith fail not. 1 John 2 and verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Thank God today, as Peter had someone praying for him, we have the Lord Jesus as our advocate, the righteous one, as our mediator. You see, God understood that sometimes Peter's faith was frail. And sometimes Peter's prayer life was wanting. In fact, the Bible says there in Matthew 26 and verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so Jesus said, Peter, I'm praying for you. You're filled up with yourself and your flesh, but I'm praying for you. Spurgeon said, prayer girds human weakness with divine strength, turns human folly into heavenly wisdom, and gives to troubled mortals the peace of God. We know not what prayer can do. Oh, Jesus' prayer is personal. Jesus' prayer is particular. And Jesus' prayer is proven. I want you to see this in verse 32. He says, I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Notice that phrase. When thou art converted. You see, when Jesus prays for something, it's done. His word is the final word. Now notice that phrase, when thou art converted. You know what Jesus knew as he prayed for Peter? Jesus knew that Peter was going to deny him when the cock crowed thrice. Jesus knew that Peter was going to fail him. But Jesus still loved Peter and still prayed for Peter. How many of you can thank God for his long suffering towards you? I mean, let's face it. If you and I would have known Peter was about ready to be a hypocrite and a coward and to deny us, we would probably right after the Last Supper say, hey, Pete, come here, bud. Why don't you just go back fishing, all right? I got big things going on. I got a lot of pressure. I don't need a quitter on my team. See you later. Right? But Jesus says, you know what? I didn't come to die for the perfect. I came to call sinners to repentance. He says, Peter, you're so full of yourself, you don't even realize how much so. I'm praying for you because Satan's going to try to sift you. And Peter, after you mess up, and after you convert back and turn back around, I want you to strengthen your brethren. When you realize how full of yourself you are, and when you finally come to the end of yourself, and when you realize the privilege of serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then I want you to lead and strengthen your brethren. And Jesus prayed a prayer of thanksgiving even as the threat of the cross loomed over him. And Jesus prayed a prayer of intercession even as a disciple was about to betray him. And notice finally this morning, a prayer of submission. Jesus takes his time now and takes these further steps from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane, located on the Mount of Olives. And as Jesus comes to the Mount of Olives, we see his prayer of submission. He comes to this place, first of all, yielded to an earnest prayer. His heart was yielded for a time of earnest prayer. And as he comes into the place called the Mount of Olives, he walks into this, his prayer closet, if you will. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he so often retreated to prayer, Jesus came with an earnest prayer, and he begins to pray in a heart of preparation. And he says in verse 42, his disciples, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." Prayer was essential to everything Jesus did in his life on earth. Jesus now comes into this Garden of Gethsemane. The word Gethsemane means the place of pressing, or the oil press. It was from these olive trees that oil for medicinal purposes was squeezed out, and yet it was there at Gethsemane that Jesus Christ was feeling the squeezing and the pressure of your sin and mine about to be placed upon him when he hung on the cross of Calvary. And he went to the place of prayer to be ready and to show a heart of submission to God the Father. He prayed in preparation, I see. Secondly, he prayed in isolation. The Bible says in verse 41, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast." Don't get me wrong, he loved these disciples. He was about to shed his blood for them. But there are some times when you need to be alone with God. And Jesus went about a stone's throw away. And I wonder, do you have a place where you can get alone with God? Maybe a special room in your house, maybe a closet, maybe a place in the desert. But is there a place in your life when you can retreat to that place and pray to the God of heaven? Do you know him? Do you know how to address him? Do you go there and meet him? John Bunyan, the great pastor of England, said, "He who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him in the rest of the day." It is so vitally important that we learn from Jesus this morning the priority of prayer. Notice he prayed in preparation. He prayed in isolation. Thirdly, he prayed in humiliation. The Bible says in verse 41, "and kneeled down." Now sometimes people ask questions, maybe to be sincere, maybe to be sarcastic. I've heard thousands of them. I've heard people say, "Well, is it necessary to kneel down when you pray?" Well, my friend, you can pray in any posture. You can pray with your eyes open or your eyes closed. You can pray anytime, anywhere. But I submit to you that if the maker of the universe knelt, then there must be something to the posture of prayer. There must be something to that that expresses the heart of one's inside desire to God. There must be something to fasting then, to prepare the soul and to bring our prayer to the fullest development. There must be something to posture then. And Jesus humbled himself. And in Matthew 26, 39, it says he went a little further then and he fell on his face praying. And in Mark 14, 35, it says he went forward a little bit and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, this hour would pass from him. He was yielded to an earnest prayer. Listen, sometimes our Christian prayers are trite. They are shallow, they are said so that others may hear them, and yet we see from Jesus the earnestness of his time with God in prayer. And then notice his prayer was yielded to an eternal purpose. Now, most of our prayers are about right now. I mean, the food in front of us. What I need right now. But this prayer had eternal ramifications. No doubt the cross was imminent. But this prayer dealt with the eternal. Notice in verse number 42, the Bible says, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Jesus now, in this time of prayer, seeking God and praying, he has yielded to God's plan, his eternal plan for the ages. And he says, "If it be possible, if you are willing, let this cup pass from me." The Bible says in 1 John 3, 8, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Now the working power of the devil is utterly destroyed at the cross of Jesus Christ. The devil is a loser. Though the new games that come out for Xbox and PlayStation talk of demons and devils and get our children somehow adapting to that mindset that it's all fun and games. My friend, it's not fun and games. The devil is your enemy, but the devil is, after all, a loser because of the blood of Jesus Christ. God's Son came to destroy the works of the devil. And when Jesus says, if you be willing, and when he says in other portions, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. You must understand that in God's plan, it was not possible. There was no other way that sin could be covered, saved by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. If there would have been another way, Jesus would not have hung on that cross. But there was one way, and Jesus was yielded to that way. He was yielded to the paying of the price for my sin. The Bible says in verse number 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Don't misunderstand me. Jesus, no doubt, as being 100% man, understood that the pain of the cross would be real. But as 100% God, he understood he was about to take upon himself the sin of the world. And he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we, through his righteousness, might be forgiven. And you see, the fact was that as he prayed under this pressure in the pressing place called Gethsemane, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in agony for us. We'll never understand that this side of heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, he who never sinned, he who never lied, he who never had a corrupt thought, he became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. You see, there's nothing righteous about me. The only thing righteous about me is the fact that I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've received Jesus as my Savior. And my friend, I have been declared righteous by God the Father because I am in Christ today. And Jesus made it possible by humbling himself to the will of the Father. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Thank God for the prayer of submission. Anytime on his steps to the cross, he could have called 10,000 angels and said, I'm not doing this. But he kept going because of his love for you and because of his submission to the Father. A prayer of thanks. Are you giving thanks during this season of your life? A prayer of intercession. Is there someone that the devil would like to sift like wheat? Someone that you should be praying for? A prayer of submission. Is there something that you would rather not experience in your life, but you need to say today, God, not my will, but thine be done? Do you need to stop complaining about where you work and where you live and who you live with and just say, Lord, it's not about me anymore. It's about you. Not my will, but thine be done. And by the way, Jesus did shed his blood on that cross for you. And if you're seated in this room today and you do not know that your sins have been covered by the blood of the Lamb, and you do not know how to pray to God through Jesus Christ, and you are not sure that one day you'll spend eternity in heaven with Jesus, then don't leave this place today without receiving Christ as your Savior.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Now, if you've missed any part of this program, including portions that we didn't have time for today, simply go to dailyintheword.org, where you can listen online anytime. You can also download the Daily in the Word podcast to your device and listen on the go. If you have questions about how to enter into a relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk to you more about what it means to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Simply call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. If you are interested in watching Pastor Chappell preach live during a Lancaster Baptist Church service, you can now log on to lbclive.tv Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11, or Sunday evenings at 5 Pacific Standard Time. In life, there's nothing more important than knowing where you'll spend eternity. Some people believe that being a good person is their pass to get into heaven, or that this life is all there is. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Pastor Paul Chappell wants us to send you his newest book called Paid in Full, your debt, God's payment, as a thanks when you support this ministry financially. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this book for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. Thanks in advance for your support. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.